God, Black Boss is so good. I might have to change my score.
Too late now.
It's too late, baby. It's too late. God, my brain. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Damn Art Majors. I'm your host this time around, Aaron Early.
I'm Gutters.
He didn't seem sure about that. Are you sure about that?
No, it's supposed to have a question mark behind it.
Oh.
Because I was actually late to the podcast.
Yeah, you're always late.
Yep. It's the curse of the name. And across from me is Adam Book of Fusco.
Hello. And sitting next to me is James Dutters Dudley.
Hello.
James Richard Dutters Dudley.
I'm sorry, get your full name. You just said James Dutters Dudley.
Oh, I see.
It's James Richard Dutters Dudley.
It's a lot of names.
It is a lot of names.
This is a special episode, is it not?
It is a special episode.
Why is it so special?
It is the Whatcha Drinkin' finale, where we put... We put the, it's three winners. Yeah, three winners.
Four winners.
How many beers do you see in front of you?
Oh, it was blocked by the other.
I'm sorry. There he is.
There's a slightly larger beer in front of it. Sorry. So we pit the four winners from the last.
Four rounds.
Four.
We picked the four winners from the last 12 rounds.
Shut up. I got this. It's been a long day.
Welcome to recording on a Wednesday, folks.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so we pit the four winners from the last four rounds together, and we are going to choose a Grand Papa Wizard Dragon of the four. And that winner gets a special prize package.
Including a t-shirt courtesy of Oak City Hustle. It is a size medium. If you're not a size medium, figure out something to do with it.
Slice the sizing. You wear it like a poncho.
Put it on your dog.
And I think we're going to do up something special, the three of us, for the winner. Maybe a collaborative illustration of sort. I don't know, signed by all of us. If that means anything to you, awesome. I think we can do that.
We can hand it off like a relay race or something.
Sure. Yeah. And, I don't know.
Like, what are those things, the master, there's that, you know, you fold the paper.
The exquisite corpse. That's actually a good idea, yeah. That sounds neat. But would we cheat?
I don't cheat.
As I'm stroking my chin, you can't see that. You can listen to it, though.
The mics are literally picking up nothing.
No, I heard it.
Oh, really?
I heard it plenty.
Wow, oh, there
you go. So let's go down from round one. The winner of round one was Old Curmudgeon from Founders. Welcome back,
this
old friend.
This is the one that I haven't had yet.
You have not had that. Yeah, Eric helped us out with that one.
The second one that we had was Ovilla, which is a Belgian-style Abbey Saison from Sierra Nevada.
The third one
was the Black Boss Porter, courtesy of Poland. I guess that's, what's the Browar Witnica Estate Boss something?
Estate Lauder.
What the hell do you see that?
That's up there at the...
Brewer Witnica. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
And the final winner of the fourth round is the local aviator with their Devil's Tramping Ground, Fuque Barina. So we got one NC beer in there. Anyway, Aaron, who do you think's got it today? Who do you think's a strong contender?
Well, Aaron postulates.
I'm gonna go with Aviator. I'm gonna put my bet on Aviator because it rubbed me the right way last time.
Nice.
I'm putting my. It's a tough one.
You love that Black Boss.
I do love Black Boss. So my money's riding all on Black Boss.
Well, let's see. We're gonna do this the same way we've done it the last four rounds. We're going to sample the beers periodically as we do our show. We are going to write down our 1 to 10 scales. 10 obviously being a high score. And
just
at the
put
end,
dust in my glass.
We will tally up the results and have you guys an official What You Drinking Contest Volume 1 winner. That's exciting.
Yeah.
All right, does anybody...
Followed next week by Dan Goes to AA, where we interview people on a first-name basis only.
I'm still all for Dan Goes to the ABC Store, and we start hitting the hard shit.
There we go.
So next month, Dan goes to the ABC Store. In 6 months' time, Dan gets a liver transplant.
Or kidney dialysis.
So today we are recording on a Wednesday, which is... kind of our new thing we're trying out. Typically we record on a Friday or a Saturday, in even sometimes Sunday afternoon, but this way we kind of meet up during the week and kind of knock it out. With that being said, SparkCon has not hit yet. It commences tomorrow, right? But by the time you guys are hearing this, it'll already be over.
Yep.
So I don't know. I know we mentioned that we were thinking about going and just kind of, you know, hanging out and maybe throwing out some stickers and seeing some sights and having some fun. So maybe we did that. Maybe we did not. If you saw us there, cool. If you did not, we're sorry we missed you.
But we're glad you went and you had a really good time. Congratulations.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed it. Any other things coming up? Anything coming down the pike?
We've got Liberty Arts is doing their October Iron Pour. For whatever reason, I want to say it's October 11th.
Yeah, I think it's October 11th.
If you want more information about that, you can go to libertyarts.org.
Liberty-arts.org.
Thank you.
Liberty... I think it'll actually just redirect to it. I don't know.
Yeah. Where. Anyway, go there. You'll see on their main page. You can contact people there to find out information. Do scratch blocks. It's free to come watch. So if you're not doing anything October 11th, go check out an Iron Pour because they're friggin' awesome.
Yeah, they're quite entertaining.
And this is a family-friendly event? Bring the kids?
This is, yeah, bring the kids, throw them in. I mean, you know, stoke the flames.
Nice.
Kids smell funny when they hit 3,000 degree metal.
It's like new bacon.
Ooh. It's like veal bacon. That doesn't even make sense.
It really doesn't.
Kids smell. Babies smell. Babies smell.
Kids don't smell, they smolder. Oh. I am doing something I've never done before on Friday, which is go to Carborough for their second Friday art walk.
They have a second Friday?
Yeah.
Every Friday somebody's got something, huh?
So Raleigh has first Friday.
Uh-huh.
Durham has third Fridays. So Carborough got second. Who has fourth?
Greenville.
No.
Greenville has fourth Friday.
But they also have Umbrella Market, which is what?
Yeah,
Wednesday.
That's just during the summer, though.
We're missing it right now, probably.
We also don't live in Greenville.
True.
But seeing as how a lot of our listeners are in Greenville, I hope you're enjoying the Umbrella Market today. I mean, last Wednesday.
Yeah. Go see Sim Asher out there. Give him a hug.
Yeah, go see Sim.
There you go.
Ask him for money.
God knows he has a lot of it.
Hi, Sim. If you listen. But yeah, I'm excited to go to Carborough because it's a very small town.
Yeah.
Like, their downtown is very minute and compact. But they have a lot of high-end galleries there.
There's, oh, really?
Yeah, they're kind of, well, not when I say a lot, they have like three or four that are more of the elitist style. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
Yes, welcome.
Only a mere $2,000 for this painting. Oh, we don't put yard sale pieces in art.
I only call them elitist because I've heard shit about them. Like, I've heard people talk bad about them. Like, oh, they didn't let me in to the show because they were pretentious.
Yes, yes. My jaw is so long that I don't have to worry about using tissues because it collects everything.
Yes. We live in Carborough. Fuck yourself. Yes.
Yeah, I don't really know much about Carborough. I know it's more or less a area of Chapel Hill that tries to set itself apart by calling itself Carborough.
We should probably be careful about what we say.
The whole town will come out for us.
Good.
Bring them! Yeah, so I was listening to a quaint little podcast called, I believe it's called Dawn Art People or something of that sort. Well, frankly,
it's called
Poor
Creative People.
Oh, yes. Frankly, I don't believe they're good enough to live off my crumbs.
All right, shut up. I look forward to it because it's a small event.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Take some stickers with you.
I should. You're right. I should stick them on some of the artwork.
Yeah. Yep.
But only the good stuff, right?
Yeah. And right in the middle.
It's only going to increase the value of that piece.
I have a question for the listeners.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why are they going to answer you, dude?
They're going to answer me by hopefully considering this question. I'm really surprised at how many people don't comment.
Oh, where are you guys?
Like, I get personal messages from people, but they don't comment on, like, the Damn Art Majors page or anything.
Right.
Please, if you feel like reaching out to us, comment in the public sphere, like, where people can other people can see it, like, on Twitter or on the Damn Art Majors page. Who knows? It could develop into a conversation.
I agree, and I second that. If you have a longer-winded message or a suggestion, you can always email us. The email is damnartmajors@gmail.com. Obviously, our Twitter handle is @damnartmajors. Our Facebook, just type in Damn Art Majors. You'll find two Facebooks that you can comment on both. And, know, for those who have written us, which we have gotten a lot of people writing in, awesome. You guys are great. Love to hear it and keep them coming. Maybe we'll do another listener question episode coming down the pike, and you know, or another listener submitted topic segment. You never know.
I'd really like to. I mean, I enjoy answering other people's questions that aren't from us.
Yeah, yeah. Be our content generators.
Hmm.
Dance, monkeys. Dance.
Which, speaking of, I've really wanted to watch Zoolander recently.
What? That was any particular reason?
You don't remember the photo shoot?
No, I totally remember the photo shoot. I totally get the reference.
I miss Billy Zane.
Obey my dog.
But
I do miss Billy Zane, actually.
What is Billy Zane doing these days, man?
He's not aging somewhere.
Oh, man, if somebody could reach out to Billy Zane for us, we'd love to talk to him.
You know what? I'm going to tweet his ass right now.
You're going to tweet Billy Zane right now?
Billy Zane, what is? Where the fuck are you in life?
Oh, shit, he's got his phone out. Yeah, tweet him, dude. Let us know.
Billy Zane, what happened?
We've politely requested that you all share your ideas. Tell us what you think. Be nice.
And if you feel like it, like us. Subscribe to us.
Yeah, yeah. Those numbers do add up to stuff. You know, obviously, they help us out. They also...
They help us get into places for free.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Maybe we get into another convention coming up. Who knows? Yeah. So, Dudders, would you consider yourself a fan of surrealist work?
No.
Why is that?
I don't know. You just asked me if I considered myself a fan of surrealist work, and the answer is no.
Why did you ask that question?
Well, because apparently there is a new animated feature that combines the work of not one, but two well-known artists, Salvador Dali and one...
Walt Disney.
Exactly. And Aaron, you supplied us with this article about this new animation that is, 40 some odd years in the making?
The idea is 57.
57 years in the making.
The idea is 57. When did they actually... It was actually animated in the late 90s?
Yeah. It was animated for... It was part of, I think a series of four animation short films that were designed to come out with the 20th anniversary of Fantasia. Or maybe it's just the Blu-ray release
Fantasia
of Fantasia
2, maybe.
Well, they found it when they were doing Fantasia 2000. Mm-hmm. They found the old storyboards and the preliminary... they made a little teaser reel to try and get people interested in the idea of this animation.
Right.
Way back in the 50s. And obviously it got canned because of the war.
What war? Which war was that? Korea?
Two. World War II.
I'm just posing the question. I know the answer.
They started making it in 1945, which was you know, right at the height.
Right.
I mean, it was kind of towards the end, but still there's a lot going on.
And you guys watched the animation. What was some of your initial feelings about it?
I was blown away by it. It was not...
It starts with the naked lady.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there.
It was not illustrated by Walt Disney or Salvatore Dali.
Obviously.
It was created by an animation studio. And at the time, 11 years ago when this thing was made, it would have been cutting edge animation. If when you look at it, there's a nice blend of CGI and computer-generated images, but they're perfectly blended into actual frame animation.
Right.
And it's done so well. Like, there's the matte paintings that are done for it. You can tell they're actually painted on film. They are highly, highly imitative of Dali's work, especially the landscapes. They incorporate a lot of his sculptural work that he would actually paint.
There are elaborate 3D model interpretations of his work within mm-hmm. the animation.
Well, he did a weird thing for a little while where he would actually paint sculptures as opposed to sculpting them. Which is kind of strange.
How so?
It was just weird. It's like he wouldn't want them to exist in the 3D realm, so he would just paint them. Anyway, they captured that extremely well in this animation. At the same time, they also captured some of the Walt Disney stuff that was going on around that time period, like Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw some parallels between the female character in the short film and the character from Mulan. They had, you know, same characteristics.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because when we watched it, we thought Meg from Hercules.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
I've never seen Hercules, but I know you're talking about the long red hair.
I wonder, and it wouldn't be hard to look this up. I wonder if it was the exact same, it was the same animating
probably,
team.
Probably, but yeah.
That did Hercules and did the, because the face.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the style of it lends itself to that style that they were going for. Was that like late 90s?
For me, not to make listeners think I don't enjoy surrealist work, I'm just not a huge fan.
Right.
I do enjoy in the animation, I really enjoy the transitions.
Yeah.
That, I think, was what captured me.
It was seamless.
The soundtrack was really interesting.
I was going to say, did we get any information on the music that was
playing? Hispanic singer, song.
Mexican songwriter named Armando Dominguez, and it was performed by Dora Luz.
But it was unusual.
But it was like a classical operatic sort of Disney piece.
Yeah, which is why when I first started watching it, I was like, wait a minute, this animation is way too good to be originally done back then. What's going on? But then the music kind of threw me back to that early days of Disney where you just, you know, you pick a sound, you know, you have the soundtrack just playing in the background, and it's kind of a silent film. It had a lot of the, you know, Dali imagery that you would relate to. But
it was very captivating. Definitely worth your 6 minutes and your attention. What I thought was really interesting was the YouTube link that you had sent had like a crazy amount of people hitting the like button. Several thousands of people had hit the like button
for this film?
Yeah.
Oh.
But then there was like a mere like 200 or so people who hit the dislike button. And I didn't know if they actually disliked it or if they just wanted to exercise their right to vote democratically.
So maybe someone had a horrific experience one day. Like, they were walking downstairs, they stepped on a nail, they continued to fall down a flight of stairs, they landed on their dog, killing their dog, they tripped on the dog's body, fell through a plate glass window. All while this was happening, the Little Mermaid was singing in the background as their two-year-old watched the musical unfold. And they have forever associated Walt Disney with that experience. So whenever they see anything with Disney's name on it, they're like, no, dislike.
You might be onto something.
He might be right.
Yep.
Yep.
It's airtight, man.
So even if they, even if this team of animators, I think there's 25 of them or so, and I cheated and just peeked at the Wikipedia page real quick, but apparently...
you should have been tweeting Billy Zane. What are you doing?
The reason why I asked you, why you mentioned the surrealist painting thing was because Billy Zane's like user background image on Twitter is a surrealist painting.
It would be. He's classy.
But yeah, there was like... Walt Disney's nephew was the guy that brought it back into light. There's
Rupert something, isn't it?
Jeff Disney.
I don't remember. But I had never heard of this thing. And it's been out for 11 years. And it's you know, a huge deal. Like,
it only had like Disney over a million and views and shit.
I'd never, never heard of it. I guess I'm just, I don't pay attention to Disney.
Oh, we here in Carborough have heard about it.
But even if, I mean, I would say even if this... short film wasn't true to their Disney and Dolly's discussion or their original intentions for what it would be. The team of animators followed the storyboards that they drew originally to the letter, and they did their damnedest to make it look great.
They did incorporate some original Dolly work.
Mm-hmm.
The scene towards the end, the two turtles coming together to create another transition.
Yeah. That was like the only 17-second.
Yeah, it was like a little quick, and that was the original pitch that they made. They put together for the studio to try and get investors, but you know, the war.
And I read somewhere else, not on the Wikipedia page, and I can't remember where I read it. It might have been on Reddit.
Is there anything more than Wikipedia?
I don't know. There's WikiLeaks,
Encyclopedia Britannica.
But I read that the theme originally for this was...
World Books? Zoo
dude,
Books?
Dude, Adam, be cool. Be cool.
Man, it's really hard.
Sorry. Aaron, continue.
I do miss Zoo Books, though. Sweet reference, bro. The original theme for this was supposed to be a love story that had to do with baseball. It was supposed to be surrounded by baseball. That's why in the film, there's... literally like a 2-second shot of a baseball player.
Yeah,
out of nowhere. Yeah.
Well, that's because baseball is the perfect metaphor for life.
Yes, and it was huge in the 40s.
Yeah. And I also read something about it being a lot of imagery referencing Kronos, the father of time, not Kronos the Titan who ate Zeus, but the other Kronos. There's two Kronoses. But yeah, no, it has to do with the love story between Kronos and a mortal woman, but it can never be because, you know, Kronos is timeless, whereas a mortal woman is not.
Very true. But that didn't stop Zeus from doing anything. No. Or anybody.
But he did it as Golden Rain, so it's okay.
Right, I'm sure it felt like Golden Rain.
We all know what Golden Rain is.
But we will definitely post a link
to
YouTube so that you, listeners... can watch. We will have visual aids. And you can
follow along with us at home.
Blue Skidoo, and you can too.
Follow the bouncing ball. So we just spent a good bit talking about something that we all watched and really enjoyed and wanted to share with our audience. Let's talk about something we all enjoyed in a different way. Something that we don't actually encourage people to reach out and view. But it's kind of like a train wreck. You kind of can't look away.
Are you talking about the celebrity that has decided to take it upon herself to share her abilities of making three-dimensional objects?
Are you talking about a celebrity that's being labeled an artist?
Yes.
Billy Zane?
I wish.
No.
You know what? I would buy it. You should buy Billy Zane's work. He's a cool guy.
No.
We're going to get Billy on this show, man. And he's going to tell us all sorts of stuff.
I'm sure that by now, by the time this airs on Monday, this will be old news.
Mm-hmm.
But Miley Cyrus is now going to be featured at a New York City gallery with a collection of her most recent three-dimensional works. They are assemblages,
mm-hmm. of
emphasis on the ass.
Yeah, of various items that she has, as she put it, as she quote unquote hoards from fans and places that she goes. Apparently, airports are a great place to hoard things.
She also supposedly steals these things.
And she, yeah, steal, and then she proceeds to glue them together and put them on pedestals and have someone photograph them.
Yeah. She's only been doing
this. Or she puts them on mannequin heads.
Yeah. She's only been doing this for 2.5 months, supposedly.
That's all it takes, right? Yeah. 2.5 months to.
And she's already being labeled an artist in this respect and has her first exhibition opening called Dirty Hippie. The work is going to be featured in Miley Cyrus's collaborator and fashion designer's show, whatever that is. And then we'll be on view at a gallery. Doesn't matter what gallery, because no one's going to go see it. That's worth the damn.
This is a testament to certain people of privilege just like clicking their heels and just getting what other people spend a lifetime trying to receive.
Yeah, basically, if you're a celebrity and, I don't know, the paparazzi catches you picking up a piece of paper and scrawling on it with a pen or a piece of charcoal or even a rock or something, it's highly likely that some form of media is going to refer to you as an artist.
Kind of reminds me of the, there was an article a little while ago about an art critic, Dave Hickey.
Yeah.
Who decided to call it quits from the art world. Apparently he's done this several times before, though. Yeah, he announced his retirement. But he was pretty much fed up with the celebrity that the art world pretty much requires.
Yeah, well, the last time he actually cited artist names and said, this is why I'm no longer having faith in this or participating in any sort of criticism on art anymore.
I think with this time he also mentioned it wasn't Damien Hirst, it was the other guy who had a retrospective.
Jeff Koons.
I believe it was Jeff Koons was one of his reasons. Hickey called it quits this time around.
Which is impressive. I mean, you've got to have. So he's a huge art critic. He's also people put a lot of value into him. They listen to what he has to say. He's very eloquent in how he puts things. Very honest. And he's been around for a while. So for him to come out and say, fuck y'all, fuck the art world, I'm out, you've ruined it, is pretty impressive. It's far more impressive than what Gene Simmons said recently.
I have no idea what Gene Simmons said recently.
It hurts my brain to even think about it, somewhat more than the whole Miley Cyrus thing. But he came out and said that rock and roll is dead, and it was killed by the upper and middle class white people of the U.S.,
Well, so oh, kind of no, he started a band killed. Just he used to the sell word, merchandise.
He used I don't the really, word murder, specifically.
He started a band solely to be able to sell merchandise and, you know, action figures and towels and whatnot. Yeah, he's part of the problem. But you know what, guys? Here's my thing. Maybe we're being too hard on Miss Cyrus.
Yeah,
Maybe she, you know, she's been at it for 2 months. Granted, that's not obviously very much time, but she's what, like 21, so like that's, you know, that's a bit of time for her.
I mean, maybe she's had some art school experience.
She has lived a life, you know. She has lived a life unlike ours, and maybe she has developed her own psychology behind her pieces that
can, philosophy really
a philosophy that can demonstrate to us help us get into her mind as to why these pieces are of value.
Well, wouldn't you know it, Adam?
Yeah.
No, wouldn't you know it, Adam?
A lot of people do that.
I came first in the baby book.
That, wouldn't you know that Erin actually has
a peek into Miss Cyrus's mind?
Yeah, I have some quotes from this interview that she did, and I guess this is her artist statement.
Okay.
I mean, lay it on me, man.
I mean, let's just be fair.
So, Miley Cyrus describes her latest series of work as everything just kept shitting on me and shitting on me. So then I started taking all of those shit things and making them good and being like, I'm using it. So, that's how I started making art. I had a bunch of fucking junk and shit, and so instead of letting it be junk and shit, I turned it into something that made me happy. Followed by, this fucking banana was a hamster toy at Petco, and I bedazzled it. They say money can't buy happiness, and it's totally true. Money can buy you a bunch of shit to glue to a bunch of other shit that will make you happy, but obviously the shit you buy doesn't make you happier because I'm sitting here gluing a bunch of junk to stuff. Didn't we just talk about Zoolander earlier? This is like... I feel like this is a deleted scene from that movie. I just sit around and smoke weed anyway, so I might as well sit around, smoke weed, and do something. That is...
I feel like these need to be the lyrics to some YouTube rap.
Yeah. I would like to mine that banana for $30,000. Yes.
I will say this. She is learning something about herself.
What is she learning?
I didn't finish reading the last quote. I should have, because this is a tremendous moment in her lifetime where she begins to self-reflect and realize that she has potential. She says, I just sit around and smoke weed anyway, so I might as well sit around, smoke weed, and do something. And this is me doing something. I love it. I mean, I'm up until 7 in the morning doing this stuff all the time. It was much weirder when I started doing it while I was sober.
As true today as it was when it was written.
If there was ever a first step and a first hand grab on the banister of the downward spiral staircase, this is it.
I'm kind of at a loss. I really am. I'm at a loss for words.
I'm not even going to read the rest of them.
Thank you, Miley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I feel like it's sort of a... It's like she's at the craft section of the AA meeting or something, you know? Like, this is like in the psych ward, she's where they learn to crochet to express their feelings that they're going through. And I think that you're likening it to the downward spiral, the last ditch effort to grab the railing before she trips and lands on the dog. I think it's going to be an interesting trip. I'm glad I'm going to be around to watch it.
Yeah, I'm happy that she's prescribing herself some art therapy.
Yeah.
She needs it.
And probably huffing way too much glue.
But from some of the pictures I saw of her...
pieces...
bedazzle turds, I'm gonna call them.
you better trademark that. She's gonna steal that from
she me. Said yeah, she cool. said the word shit so much in some of those quotes, and yet there's not even a single aspect of poop in any of them.
No, you got
they're right. Actually very light colored. They're very pinks and whites, and you know, bedazzled things. The head made out of weird teddy bears was particularly
well, teddy bears is kind of her thing, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know what is her thing. I thought her thing was grinding on Beetlejuice.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
This whole thing is very unfortunate, I think. It once again gives creative people a bad name, I think.
No, it doesn't.
Well, if Miley Cyrus can make art, what's so special about it?
I think, well...
Because you're mistaking her for a creative person.
Some people would argue this to the teeth, but I think it devalues art.
Oh, absolutely. Well, not in the sense that anybody should be able to create something because they feel the need to, regardless of reason or personality. Like, the right to openly create is what makes us human. You know, we do it because it gives us a sense of worth. It gives the things around us a sense of worth. The thing that I guess, if you want to call us, I don't know, bitter, if you will.
Cynical.
Is that there doesn't seem to be much more than, you know, I'm bored, I'm high, and I want to glue some shit to some other shit. And it kind of belittles anyone else who tries to stack their work against hers to say, well, I'm an artist too. Well, if this is the quality that we are trying to reach to dictate who is an artist, then that belittles everybody else who's trying. I think, is that kind of your sense of, is that how you feel about it? Or am I totally off base?
Kind of. I've been sitting here thinking comparing her to all these other teenage, I mean, is she still a teenager?
I think she's 21.
Is she?
Okay. Yeah, I think she's legally allowed to imbibe alcohol now.
She might as well still be a teenager. In comparison to other recently post-teenage celebrities, she's the only one I can think of that's actually doing something creative with her non-sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to compare her to somebody else who is basically showing their ass as a celebrity, it would be Justin Bieber.
Richard Dudley.
It seems like she's gotten the hint that you can do other things than
right.
be a juvenile delinquent.
You don't hear about Miley in jail. You hear about her showing her tongue a lot.
Yeah, she's not driving a Lamborghini down like a neighborhood side street at 3 o'clock in the morning and then going on a police pursuit.
What bothers me is, you know, and when I say bothers me, it's not like I'm up all night fucking thinking about this shit. I'm not. But, you know, nothing she does is overly original. Madonna was doing all this stuff in the 80s.
The whole over-sexualized thing at a young age is not news.
She's young, you know.
It's old hat at this point.
Like I said earlier in the show, she did not live a typical life. Thus, we should not expect a typical adolescence from her. You know, you kind of got to cut her a little bit of slack. You know, but you can either choose to pay her the attention, or you could choose not to. Granted, the latter is a little harder to achieve when, you know, the media has turned into, like, an entertainment show. And, you know, you're just trying to drink your cup of coffee and find out what, you know, the Sox are doing. And they're shoving Justin Bieber in your face at 8:30 in the morning. You know, thanks, Fox News. Fair and balanced. Anyway, but that's pretty much it. You can either accept it or just try to your damnedest to ignore it.
How long do you think before she has her own line of clothes?
I wouldn't be surprised if she has already had her own line of clothes. Why?
Just curious.
Yeah.
You know, Miley Cyrus is torn.
I'm thinking about her future.
Yeah. You know who deserves their own line of clothes?
Who?
Billy Zane.
He deserves his own line of like bald head caps.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'm gonna tweet Billy Zane and say, "How do you feel about Miley Cyrus's new exhibition?" Fingers crossed. I hope Billy Zane reads my tweet. You timeless star child.
That's that right there. Name of the episode: right timeless there. Star child.
Yes. I have no idea where that phrase came from.
Me neither. But I'll write it down so Adam doesn't forget it. Sorry, man. You remember
no,
this shit.
I don't think I could forget that. That was classic.
Maybe. Just maybe. The winner of What You Drinking
We'll finale. Get a Billy Zane bald cap?
We'll get a Billy Zane drawing from us.
That'd be really good. You know, half our listeners are like, who the fuck is Billy Zane?
No, actually, they're all Googling him right now. The bad guy in Titanic.
Yeah. No, he was the Phantom, man. Let's think of him as the good guy. Phantom. Everybody saw the Phantom. Nobody saw Titanic.
He was the rational moral support in the movie Zoolander.
Anyone who has stayed awake until 3 a.m. on FX has seen the Phantom.
This is true.
I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
I went and saw it, and my dad picked me up out of school early, and we went to go see the fucking Phantom.
Nice.
I was in like middle school.
I was actually at the Raleigh Comic Book Show. I picked up an original trade card of the Phantom drawn by a local artist buddy, Prince, whom we may be reaching out to.
Was that an actual drawing?
Yeah, dude. That was the legit card. No, right. Yeah. So, might be reaching out to him about maybe coming on the show or something. Phantom, bitches.
Thanks. Thanks for the memories, Billy Zane.
I'm sorry.
Just when you thought that he got rid of the damn bell, he brings it back.
That's right. The bell will never go away. It will never die. Goonies never say die. Okay. And we have our totals.
No, Actually, we don't.
No, we don't. We have our votes. We have to tally our votes.
All right, so we're going to tally up these results here, and we will be right back with the answer, or the winner of the first ever What You Drinkin' finale. Hit the damn bell. Thank you, Aaron. All right, here it is, guys.
Oh, I broke it.
No, no, it's okay. Adam wanted me to put a Lego in there instead of it being a light. So it's
a... I did break it. Sorry.
The bell is not broken, rest assured. So I got the results. Damn it!
You have the results.
I have the fucking results. You want to hear them?
I do. Well, I'm on the edge of my seat. Okay, all not right. Literally.
Here
I'm
we go, guys.
Figuratively on the edge of my seat.
So I just want to, you know, say that all these beers are winners, and thank you to all our listeners for writing them in. This is a great way to interact with you guys, and we couldn't have done it without you. So, with
next
that being
month,
said,
liquors.
Yeah, I'm
hookers?
Down.
Liquors. No, we're not going to rate hookers.
I mean,
ooh, next week, folks. Ooh,
that
could
be
in your face.
It could be a talent contest.
No, hold on, that could get really fucking expensive really fast. we'll stick to shit we can get in airplane bottles. How about that?
We'll see. We're not promising anything.
Yeah.
All right, in fourth place, we have Old Curmudgeon with 21.75 points.
Hey, if that's the lowest.
That's the lowest score, and it's right. Still pretty high. In third place, with a score of 23 points, we have Ovila, the Abbey beer.
By Sierra Nevada.
That's right. In second place, we have, at 24 points, Dutter's personal favorite, Black Boss. Which means our winner, at a score of 24.75, goes to the local fan favorite, Aviator. So let's give a little...
Way to go, Bryce. Way to hang
Bryce.
In there.
Bryce.
He won two in a row, so I could just throw his stickers in with his t-shirt and just send that one package. This could be really convenient. That was not intentional, but it is kind of nice. No, you cannot finish the can. Well, you bought the can. No, Dutter's bought the can. You
just finish the damn can.
All right. You finish the can, we'll finish this episode. Dutter, say those magic words.
The next one will be better?